It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
That's right. It's a special live edition of the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. We are here. It's Sunday. It's beautiful outside. And we are looking forward to your comments. We're going to be talking about David Reinbacher, obviously AHL debut. And Grant, you were there to witness it. So we're going to get your thoughts on that. It's been a crazy week for the Laval Rocket. 2 wins in 2 games against the Belleville Senators, both of them 3-2, which means they pass them in the standings. So we're going to talk about Logan Mailloux. We're going to talk about Justin Barron, some of the new guys. And obviously yesterday, Boston College defeated Boston University, largely in part to Jacob Fowler, another Habs prospect. So obviously we got to touch on him. But the focus today is going to be David Reinbacher. We want to hear your thoughts. Feel free to chime in the comments. We'll bring them up at some point. But in the meantime, let's get started.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Recruits Draftcast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select, from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
That's right. Producer Shane here, as always, joined by fantastic Grant McCagg by my side. Grant, how are we feeling today?
Excellent. Excellent.
I would hope so. I mean, you got quite the treat. Yeah, you got quite the treat on Friday.
It's fantastic, just as you said.
Not there you go. Me, yeah.
Everything's fantastic. I went down to, I went down to Belleville, and of course, you get close to the St. Lawrence Seaway, snow, you know. It was one of those, it wasn't as eventful as Rocco's trip to Toronto 2 weeks ago. I didn't have a flat tire or anything, but back on the 401, with transports passing you and running out a windshield washer on the way home, and ended up I made it to Kingston, and I crawled up the 15 Smiths Falls, took the back way from there. I wasn't going on the 401 any further, but brought back a lot of memories and why I don't if someone offers me a full-time scouting job at my age, I don't know. I may just say no. I appreciate it, but going to stick to the video scouting and recruits. Thank you very much. But it was all worth it. It was great to see Laval make the comeback. Reinbacher to tie it up, and Mailloux with that beauty in overtime. So very sweet. And I watched the game last night on AHL TV or whatever, and, with those frigging uniforms, it's hard to make out the numbers, So I was really glad that I got to see the first game in person and knew every shift. It doesn't help that all the defensemen have 4,
True. That's true.
Trudeau has 4, you can only see the 4 on some of them. Mailloux has 4, and it's Gallopo has 4.
They're all tall too, so you can't just, look at the height differences. They all look the same.
Well, sometimes, I keep in mind that Reinbacher's a right defenseman, so that helps. But still, sometimes you can't tell when you're watching the AHL TV telecast. So I hope RDS picks up a few more of these and it's a little clearer the rest of the games that I have to see on on TV.
That's it. That's it. It might be the Belleville, you know, situation there. It doesn't. I mean, yeah. From what I saw, it looked like a community center, that arena. It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, it's intimate, cozy. You know?
Yeah.
The way a real estate agent would describe it. It was pretty cool though. The Laval fans that were there, I don't know if they outnumbered them, but they certainly outshouted them. Yeah. It was like Team Canada 72 when they're, you know, only 3,000 were in the arena in Moscow, but they were way louder than the, you know, all the Moscow fans. What, cheer for your team? You know, what are they doing? You know, go Canada, go. But it was go Rocket, go was very loud at, you know, the Belleville fans tried to counter with go Sens go, but it got drowned out by the very vocal Habs fans that showed up for Reinbacher's debut. And it was almost like a home game. So that, I think that helped spur them, especially once they scored that first goal finally, because the first two periods, it was boring. Like there weren't a lot of chances for either team. And, you know, I thought I might fall asleep on the way home because I was already almost nodding off. But third period was ultra exciting, and then the overtime was great. Oh, wow. So,
I mean, let's get into it, right? You yourself and the Laval fans that made the trip got quite the treat. Obviously, David Reinbacher making his much-awaited AHL debut, and he impressed, obviously, the big goal, right? But overall, let's talk the whole three periods, all three and a half, let's say, including the overtime. But what stood out most to you? Like, what looking at him, you're like, okay, this – he's already elite at doing this, or that really impressed you, whatever?
Well, there were several things, but right off the bat, rangy. You know, it was the first thing that I tweeted, my first impression, rangy. It just covers a lot of turf out there. It just, or ice, I guess. Yeah. he's at one side, on one side of the ice by center one second, and 3 seconds later, he's along the boards on the other side, checking a guy, you know, like he just, his range with that long stick, he's got a very long reach and a long stick, and then the mobility on top of that. Just he's going to be an excellent one-on-one defender. He already is, but just as he develops here, it's just going to get better and better. It's funny. I was standing beside two NHL scouts, and you know, I asked them for their thoughts at the intermission, and the first thing the fellow beside me said was rangy, you know, so he got the exact same impression that I did, but really good stick, active stick, gets his blade on a lot of pucks, very smart, poised. I love his confidence. Like when they were down in the third period, he went on offense, and as you saw by that, you know, the game tying goal.
Wow.
Like for a 19-year-old kid in his first pro game, you know, coming from Europe, smaller ice. I mean, it was just great to see that he wanted to take things into his own hands. You can tell that he wants to be a difference maker. And I mean, we saw it at the development camp too, right? How badly he wanted to score a goal and impress the fans, you know, say, hey, I am a great pick after all, you know, maybe I'm not Michkov, but I'm, I'm a defenseman that is going to score some goals. It's kind of cool because he only scored 3 goals, I believe, this year in Kloten. And then he comes over here and he's on a 41 goal pace, you know. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, we also have some footage of him, so we can play that while we keep talking about David. But
sure,
he, like, what stood out to me, like when we talk about the goal, right? The confidence that he has. This is his first pro game, and he's already pulling toe drags. just sniping. Yeah. And he had the passing opportunity there on the 2-on-1. Obviously, I think he made the right decision by shooting, but he could have passed, right? If often you see that with younger players who don't really have that confidence yet. So the fact that he was able to trust himself and shoot it shows a lot already.
You could have pulled a Slav, you're saying?
Exactly. Without saying a name, that's who I was referring to. But you know what? He has improved in that aspect, right? Dr. Schott has kind of given him that swagger back, and he trusts himself. But yeah, that really impressed me, right? Obviously, fans, it would have been foolish to expect something like that from a first game. So it was very, very surprising and impressive. But I don't know if surprising is the right word, right? Because we know he's a top five talent. That's why he was selected there. So anyways,
right.
I was thoroughly impressed. But from your point of view, right, you were there in person.
Yeah.
So aside from what you thought he did really well, is there anything that kind of stood out of like, okay, maybe he needs to work on that or whatever?
Well, I was hoping to go over a few of these things as it went along, but you talked through the first minute and a half here. So he got if you backed it up there, the second last one, he got cross-checked right in the teeth, right? And that was kind of like, okay, here's your introduction to the AHL, you know. Welcome to the AHL, Rook. You're going to be a lot more of this. He went to the bench and he was holding his mouth quite a bit. But the very first shift, unfortunately, again, you were chatting, but I wanted to point out the fact that he was way over on the other side. And I think his first two or three shifts, when the guys were coming up the ice, he was like basically on the, you know, his defense partner side of center. And, you know, I got thinking, well, the rink's 15 feet wider in Europe, right? So he was probably just out of, you know, being used to, he was 7.5 feet over further than he should have been, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that got adjusted. I think the coaches, said, hey, Dave, you know, play in your own side, buddy. You know, I mean, it's bad enough that you got to get over to the boards to check the guy, but when you're already starting on the wrong side, it was kind of funny. But, you can see by all of these highlights just how rangy he is. It's hard to get around him, you know. Last night he had a couple of yesterday's game he struggled a little more, but for a AHL debut it was almost flawless. It was just really nice to see. Like, you know, there were a couple of minor turnovers, you could say, but nothing that cost the team. And he was just poised for his age. I love his outlet passes, and when he rushed with the puck, he was, he got to open ice and made nice passes. I think his passing, the passing part of his game is underrated. I think we'll see that. In Kloten, he didn't play with very good players. And it's funny, the scout that I was taught, one of the scouts that I was standing beside, he's more of a director of player personnel, really. So he told me that he was getting scouting reports from his guys over in Europe on him this year, and they just, there's the goal.
Wow.
That was sweet. That dangle. And they'll show the replay here. But I love the way he got congratulated to everybody.
Yeah. Even on the bench too, when he got to the bench, everybody swarmed him.
It's too bad that the replay didn't show the dangle, because he just the dangle that he, you know, up close. He really dangled a guy at the blue line. It was just, you know, as I said in, as I tweeted out, a Mitchkovian type goal, right? I thought that was,
you know. It's a good
dig. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a kind of goal Mitchkov would score, right? But coming from a 6'3 defenseman, that's pretty cool. But, I loved how he took things into his own hands in the third period and said, okay, I'll tie this up myself, you know. So just loved that. I mean, here it is in overtime, and he only, I thought it was I thought it was pretty neat that he played more than 21 minutes, PK, shorthanded, overtime. So he was thrown right into the fire and acquitted himself just admirably, to say the least. The scouts beside me, you know, when he scored that goal, the nod of approval, you know. They're saying, yeah, that was pretty impressive, and it sure was. But even there, do you see where he waited behind the net? You know, he didn't rush it, waited till the guys got open. The poise was something that impressed me as much as anything. So just, you couldn't ask for a better AHL debut for a 19-year-old defenseman. I don't think it was superlative.
Yeah. And again, he was in the lineup again yesterday against Belleville. No points this time, but you got to watch the game. I tried to find the feed, and anyways, AHL makes it a lot more complicated to watch their games. So I'm relying on your analysis on this one. But from that second game, what did you gather from his performance?
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I wasn't as good as the first game.
Yeah.
Hard to you're running on adrenaline that first game, right? And you could tell that he was pumped. You know, he had that extra jump, I think, just so excited. And maybe, don't forget, Kloten, they might have played about five games in the last month. And all of a sudden he's playing back-to-back. You know, welcome to North America. And that, and then today it'll be three in a row, 3 days in less than 72 hours, yeah, too.
4 p.m. against the Marlies.
You know, his legs were likely feeling it, the lactic acid and everything built up. I don't think he skated as well and had a couple of hiccups during the game. And of course, didn't score a goal. So, I mean, we're expecting We're expecting it every game now, right? Because see. He started off with one, but again, though, overall, big picture, solid again. Played on the PK, played lots of minutes. Just want to point out too that in the game on Friday night, which made it even more impressive, was that Willie Trudeau went down with an injury in the first period. Yeah. So he was paired to start the game with Bisson. And I thought, okay, great. Have him with the vet. You know, they'll get used to each other. Well, that one all went out the window when Trudeau went down. He basically played with everybody else, like all the rest of the game. So he didn't get used to having a D partner because it got switched up. He played 21-30, I think it was total for your opening game in, you know, the AHL. Mm-hmm. So he was a little tired. The legs were a little tired probably yesterday. And he actually even got beat once to the outside where he kind of stumbled on his pivot and got beat. And then he had one pretty egregious turnover, but it was more of a bobble of a puck than a stupid play. Yeah. Like if he hadn't bobbled the puck, it wouldn't have been a bad play, but the pass kind of got bobbled and it ended up right on the guy's stick and he went for a breakaway. But that happens to every defenseman, you know. And I tweeted out, like, you know, his first egregious error, expect expect to see more, right?
That's true, yeah.
Every defenseman, especially in when he gets to the NHL.
They're going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just such great hockey that everybody will make mistakes. Every great defenseman, every average defenseman, every poor defenseman. So just don't get too caught up on them. And just as you don't get overly hyped by a great offensive play or whatever, don't get too concerned about the odd mistake.
That's it. Because you have to make the mistakes in order to learn from them, right? So these are learning opportunities right now for David. It's fantastic, right? He learned from that for sure. He's not going to make that same mistake again. So, and he's a smart kid. So already he's not going to make a ton of mistakes, right? He's already at an AHL level from the get-go, which is even more encouraging than we could have hoped for, I think. So that's really the bottom line, right? Like you mentioned, temper expectations. He's not going to score a nice goal every game, but he's not going to make those mistakes every game either. He's going to be, you know, somewhere in that middle, and that middle is excellent. I mean, he does pretty much everything right from what you've been telling us. So I think Habs fans should rejoice. From what I've seen on social media, they are pretty happy. But I did see a clip from last night's game where, you know, he got a little chippy. Right. He's got a little bit of grit to him there, a little scuffle in front of the net. And he was one of the last ones to let go. So what would you think about that one?
Yeah, well, we saw it in Kloten a couple times this year, too. He's not going to take too much guff. But the fact that it was Imama as well, who is, you know,
it's a large man.
Yeah. One tough customer, you know. Yeah. Yeah. He gave him a little shot there. Like Imama was kind of engaged with someone else and Reinbacher got a free one in there. And then another guy came in, hey, don't, you know, protecting Imama or whatever, which I thought was kind of funny. But then he, you know, exchanged a couple of shots with him as well. So, no, he's, yeah. And I mean, as he gets stronger and older, I think you'll just see more and more of that. He'll play with an edge. And that's not a bad thing either, you know. So it very encouraging. I mean, the right side, well, we've got a clip of another right defenseman that did okay on Friday night as well, Mayu with the overtime winner. I mean, I tweeted out that do we have that clip, guys? I tweeted out that he's going to play in the NHL for a long time. And he is. I mean, he just stood out. Boom. Perfect shot. He stood out above everybody, I thought. He was the best player on the ice. I had not seen him playing in AHL this season yet. So just thoroughly impressed by how he handled himself, especially defensively. And he was very physical on Imama during the game too. And there were a couple of times where he just like, he's a heavy, strong, heavy kid. And a guy went in the corner with him and he gave him gave him a shove. And it was like, ooh, that, you know, that kid can bench press 300 pounds. Probably he's strong. Yeah. He's really strong. So, he's got a physical edge to his game too. So there's two big mobile physical defensemen on their way over the next 2 years to the Canadians that are, you know, just going to increase their talent level, their skill level, their size, just, you know, all the components that you like to see. Like the Canadians are doing it right. They're going to have a defense core that's similar to like Vegas. And the Vegas, I think that was the key to their victory last year, was that defense core. Yeah. And Montreal's trying to build in that mold. And I think it's the right approach.
For sure. 100%. 100%. I mean, you know, when you talk about Mayu, the one thing that came to mind was when Rocco says, you know, nothing pisses him off more than a big body soft player, right? A big body player who doesn't use his big body. And these two guys have big bodies and they use them, right? So it's all the more encouraging against grown men too. Let's not forget, right? The AHL players are you know, NHL size, right? So already they have that kind of physicality in their game. I think if you're Habs fans, you got to be pretty happy about that. But sticking on Mayu for a second, right? That goal gave him the record for the most goals for a defenseman, not just a rookie, a defenseman in Laval Rocket history in a season. He's a rookie. You know what I mean? Like his first season pro. It's pretty absurd what he's been able
to do. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they have a 50-year history or something like that, but
still, right? The fact that he is a rookie and he broke that record, I think deserves some recognition because that's pretty impressive.
Yes. And I asked him how you pronounce his name, by the way, when I interviewed him in the summer. And I know a lot of the French media, because my M-A-I-L-L is pronounced my for French names as a rule, but it's Mayu is how he, you know, I mean, he grew up in Southern Ontario, right? So we all have our slants on language, but just, I see a lot of people saying Mayu and it's Logan Mayu is the correct pronunciation on him. So we'll go with, if you don't mind.
Okay.
we'll try to get people swayed into how, you know, how he likes it pronounced anyways. Logan is a fantastic, fantastic player. And what I like is that he got he's third overall in rookie scoring, or fourth after last night. He got up to fourth and as a defenseman, and he's third in defense scoring in the AHL as a rookie. I mean, that's incredible for a rookie defenseman to come in and to be top four in both categories. Yeah. And also you have to see that Reinbacher, I think that there's offensive potential that because he was playing in Europe on a team that didn't have a lot of talent, he could have had a lot more points this year if he'd had more skilled players to play with. And we saw that just even in that game, that he's going to have more talent to play with in the AHL and certainly in the NHL, and that you're going to see more offense from him and the points will come as he matures. He's got a good shot. He can skate, carry the puck, and he's smart, good vision, all of that. So all of the pieces are in place for him to be able to produce at the pro level. Mm-hmm. So very encouraging that he picked up a goal in his first game, and I think it's just the first of many to come. So
definitely the way he shot that, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a few more by the end of the season. So I mean, we're sticking on the right side here, right? You got Mayu, who's the general, right? He's the quarterback of this team. It's pretty obvious now. And then you add Reinbacher, who's a fantastic young player. But there's another guy on the right side here, Justin Barron. It seems like the fan base has maybe given up on him, or they disregard him, right? Maybe he doesn't have a future in the NHL. It's hard to gauge, right? Because we see these flashes whenever he's called up to the Habs. He goes on these 2 to 3 game spans where he's like the best defenseman. And then after that, he's invisible, right? So it's just finding that consistency for him. What did you notice out of Justin Barron when you saw him there?
Well, I spoke to him and he likes to have his name pronounced. No, I'm kidding.
Baron?
Yeah. No, I probably shouldn't have gone off on that tangent, but I see a lot of the media calls him Mayu. And I mean, for what it's worth, he pronounces it Mayu. But no, Justin Barron he's in tough. Like, it'll be interesting to see what happens with David Savard. Will they bring him back after next year? Will they trade him next year? A lot will depend on whether they're in the playoff race, I think. Because if they are,
you got to keep him.
It's going to be tough to trade him. They might even consider extending him, for a year or two. I mean, he loves Montreal, right? Loves playing there. Justin Barron looks pretty decent at the AHL level. He's got the skating ability. He's got some offensive ability, good size. I think he's right now he's kind of a cusper, good AHL player, but not maybe makes too many mistakes under pressure at the NHL level. And that's been kind of the knock on him, even going back to junior, that under pressure, he still finds the game a little too fast at times and is prone to mistakes. And he'll have to get over that because NHL coaches are pretty impatient when it comes to, turnovers. Costly turnovers. They won't put up with too many, especially when there's other guys that can come in and take your place. So, right now, Mayhew's ahead of him on the depth chart.
I think so too. Yeah.
Reinbacher, well, if he isn't, he's soon going to be ahead of him on the depth chart.
Matter of time. Yeah.
Savard's ahead of him on the depth chart. Kovacevic is a better NHL defenseman right now. Gouley's playing on the right side. You start doing the math, and unless they trade somebody in the offseason, it could be Barron that gets traded, to be honest with you. You might see him. And I think on in an organization where there's not as much depth, especially on the right side, and there's lots of them, Barron will be an attractive piece. He may not fetch a top six winger, which is kind of what the Canadians are hoping to get. You might have to throw something else in on a package, but wouldn't surprise me if Barron got shopped at some point, and perhaps just because of numbers, ends up playing on another team. It's interesting that there were pro scouts at that game. Were they there to look at Barron? Maybe. Pro scout NHL teams know that Montreal's got great depth on defense and guys coming. Engstrom and Hudson, two more, the numbers there tell you that Montreal is going to have defensemen available. So wouldn't surprise me if Barron ended up elsewhere down the road, because I just don't think that I think the other guys there's too many guys ahead of him, and that he'll have trouble cracking the lineup.
Yeah, it's at least it's a good problem to have, right? In a sense where, okay, you got this defenseman who has this upside that we've seen. He's demonstrated some great things even at the NHL level, but finding that consistency seems to be a bit harder for him. And if he does, you have three really, really strong defensemen on the right side. So again, not a terrible problem to have when for the Habs there. Before we get to some questions, we have a few in the chat already, and feel free to send some more. We'll get to them if we can. But I want to ask you about two other guys on the Rocket, two new players, right? Jacob Perreault and Durandeau, who are still figuring it out in Laval, not making a whole lot happening so far. But I want to get your thoughts seeing them live. What you thought of their game?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I wasn't overly impressed with either on Friday night. I don't know, like, the physical end of the game. I think right now they're still adjusting to AHL men's strength. I think both of them are a little maybe, you know, below average when it comes to strength in the AHL. I think they both need to get stronger still. Now, Perreault especially is not that old, so you got to hope that he has a good, strong offseason, puts on some more muscle, and comes back maybe in a little better shape than he is right now. They both were knocked off the puck and had some bad turnovers during the game, a couple of instances, and Durando didn't dress for yesterday's game.
Yeah.
You know, they brought in Kidney, who I think probably is a better player at this point. Certainly a better prospect, I think. Wow. But, I mean, they traded for these guys, and the hope is that they will find their games, because I think they both struggled this year where they were playing. And, I mean, it's obvious why, now that I've seen them, that they're not on top of their games 100% right now. Part of it might be that they weren't playing a lot and they need to get into game shape more, you know. I think good, solid off seasons, training, get a little stronger, get a little quicker. They both have offensive talent. Certainly Perreault in junior, great shot, good puck skills, good offensive skills, but, boy, I mean, he didn't get – if you're not getting any chances to shoot, it doesn't really matter if you have a great shot or not. And
no,
he wasn't accomplishing a heck of a lot in that game. So, but there's an adjustment period for guys coming to a new team. Find your role. Find your – get used to teammates and stuff. And hopefully their games improve as it goes along here down the stretch. They're going to need them.
Yeah, the playoff push is full on right now. I mean, they just passed Belleville, so they are in a playoff spot, but it's very, very tight. So these next two games are critical, and then if they do make it to the playoffs, you need that offensive output from those guys. So I think that's why they traded for them. The potential is there for a lot of, you know, offensive output. But for now, I mean, it's an adjustment period. It's, you know, like you said, Perreault is still young, right? So you can't expect the world out of him, but at some point it's got to come, right? So hopefully,
well, he's not playing like a first. He's not playing like a first round draft pick at this point, you know. Like, no. I can tell why Anaheim gave up on him, but I mean, he was picked in the first round. He's young, you know. It's certainly not too late for him to evolve into a decent prospect that maybe down the road could get an NHL shot. Mm-hmm. The Canadians are, they've also got, Engstrom and Kapanen, who it's funny. Kapanen's had a terrific, playoff.
Yeah.
Could be player of the week again this coming week with the recruits draft cast. But, I was speaking with somebody in the Canadians organization at the game. And it sounds like Kapanen's probably not – I don't think they're expecting Kapanen to come over to play in Laval at the end of his playoff in Liga, which is unfortunate because I think they could use him. I think he could be a top three center on the Rocket right now. I mean, he's might be arguably the best player in Liga the past month. So, yeah, 23 points in his last 20 games. I mean, there's 1-2 point per game players in the entire league. It's a low scoring league. So,
and how many game winning goals out of that, right? He's clutch. This guy's clutch.
4 playoff games, 3 game winning goals, and a game tying goal.
Hello.
Not bad, right? It reminds me of the run that Lekkonen went on at the same age in Liga.
Quite the player he's become.
And so. Yeah, he became a heck of a player. So
yeah, Stanley Cup champion.
Bigger. He's a center. I mean, there's a lot of value there. So they've got a great piece there. But I think the expectation is that Engstrom will come over when his playoffs is over.
That'd be big. Yeah, that would be
big. You know, add him to the top six in Laval, the defense, you know, like you'd have to take out Gallopo probably.
Wow.
And he's a pretty steady AHL defenseman. So, it'd be a young group, but boy, a lot of talent, size, defending. Just, I really do think that. But the thing is, too, that both of those guys, they're up 2-0 in their series against teams that first and second place teams. And they were 7th and ranked place teams. Well, they went into the other team's building 1-2 games. So they're going back home up 2-0. Possibility is that they win that series and they keep going. So we may not see Engstrom for a while, which isn't a terrible thing. I mean, you want them to get that playoff experience, and especially SHL and Liga, very good hockey. There's some good teams, and that's who they're facing, are good teams right now. So it's good for their, you know, for them down the road and their development to be going on good playoff runs in Europe.
That's right. Very, very much unlike David Reinbacher and Kloten, who was on the worst team and not getting any playoff experience. So now he's in a much better situation and he's obviously benefiting from it. And another thing too, I mean, it's been confirmed and reported that a lot of the players on that team have kind of adopted him. You know, they all want to go out to dinner with him. They've kind of brought him into the fold. So that's really great to see. It speaks on the leadership in that locker room and the coaching staff as well for eliciting that leadership and those initiatives. So props to the players on Laval for making him feel at home. Seems like it's working. Yeah. Seems like it's working.
They already gave him a nickname, Rhino, which that wasn't their stretch. It was funny.
They're not
AHL. The AHL broadcaster yesterday, Sens, I was listening to the Sens, broadcaster, and they've got a player named Reinhardt, and they were calling him Rhino. So it was Rhino versus Rhino yesterday.
I think we know which one's better. So anyways, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. And we'll get to some fan questions here. We got Filterless Bear, who wants to know about Florian Jacka. He thinks that he's got tons of potential and could be a middle six power forward. What do you think about that, Grant?
Had that chat on Tony's podcast before about him maybe switching to the, and it got a lot of feedback. Boy, you don't switch him to forward. You know, why would you do that? Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, we're talking Florian, not Arbor.
Yeah. Oh, Florian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Florian. the deputy, right. Not
many,
the sheriff.
Too many Jack eyes.
That's it. Yeah. It's a good problem to have, though. can't have too many Jack eyes.
Yeah, right. Florian Jacka, middle six. I think ideally you probably want him in a third or fourth line role, bottom six. I don't see second line potential there, not on a contender at least, you know. He produced at the junior level this year, but I don't really think he's got top six NHL potential. Now, big kid. I'd love to see him win a. I think Montreal doesn't have a lot of players like him in the system.
That's it.
Now, it's one of the reasons why I'd like them to sign Luke Tuck. I don't know if they will or not, but because they don't have many big mobile physical forwards in the system. So I can see him ideally, I think, on a contender. You're looking at Florian Jacki being a all-purpose fourth liner at the NHL level that can chip in some points, that can fight, that can play wing. He can play center. Just an all-purpose utility guy who also could fill in on the third line and not look out of place. That type of player, I think that's his NHL potential. And I mean, he's a mid-round draft pick, right? Typically, I mean, the expectations aren't any higher than that. You've got 15 forwards drafted in the past 5 years ahead of him in the system, and the expectation will be that nine will surpass him or be ahead of him on the depth chart. But
right,
never say never. He might be become a middle line forward. He's certainly beaten the odds so far, not drafted his first year of eligibility, then getting drafted, just improving his game exponentially, just like his older brother. And if that improvement keeps on, just like it did with Arbor after the age of 19, we saw the jump that he made two straight years. Well, you know, I'm not going to put a tap on his potential. I think he's got NHL potential, and for a fourth round pick, that's great.
Exactly. Great, great value there. And if you can reunite the Bash brothers together, that could do some damage, especially come playoff time. You do not want to be playing against them. So it's a good thing to have them on your team, right? So Florian Jacki, yeah, it's an interesting prospect. Again, I think expectations are tempered with him, which could benefit him actually, right? Him not being a first round pick could play in his favor, right? Being a fourth rounder, you know, most fourth rounder don't even make it to the NHL. So if he does, he's already winning. It's looking like a better and better pick every day. All right, we got Lebowski here who wants to know, what are the main differences between Artem Livshunov and Carter Yakimchuk, according to Grant?
That's a good question. And, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets drafted by the Canadians, believe it or not.
Ooh!
Because if the top four forwards are gone when Montreal picks, or three, the next guys on most lists are going to be defensemen, a few of them. So wouldn't shock me if the Canadians picked one of those two. And imagine having, Yakimchuk, Reinbacher, and Mayu as your top three defensemen down the road.
Hello.
What would be neat is that none of them would garner big contracts for a while. So right, they wouldn't be taking up a huge amount of your cap space. Especially, if one or two of them are on entry-level contracts for a year or two and in the NHL, and you've got a top six defense core that's only costing you a few million dollars on your cap space, and you can spend that money up front, like the team could contend in a hurry with that scenario. So, and then you trade other defensemen, right? You trade a Barron, you trade whoever, two or three of them, and get the pieces that you want to find up front to go with them. So I think they take the best player available in the draft, regardless whether it's a defenseman or a forward, because defensemen have great asset value. You saw what Drysdale fetched. Right, Cutter Gauthier,
huge, yeah,
who was amazing again last night. So you can always trade defensemen down the road. Mm-hmm. You're drafting for 3-4 years down the road. You're not drafting for tomorrow. So, and like I say, it could be one of those two. I watched Lev Shunov last night. I caught the overtime, Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan was heavy on the forecheck, and actually he turned over the puck two or three times and was heavy under pressure. I think there's some work to do on his game. I'm not crazy about him defensively. Mm-hmm. I think Yakimchuk has more offensive capability. For me, I know probably most lists or a lot of lists have Lev Shunov ahead of Yakimchuk, but for me, it's the opposite. Where Lev Shunov has the edge on him is he's a better skater. And that's probably why a lot of guys have him ranked ahead of him. But for me, I think Yakimchuk has more offensive upside and more defensive upside. He's more physical. He makes less mistakes, especially under pressure. Better puck handler. I think his shot is better at the end of the day. So everything for me with Yakimchuk, aside from the skating, is just a little better. So if it came down to, the top forwards are gone, Lindstrom, Celebrini, and
Demidov.
Yeah. Demidov. For me, well, Parekh, obviously.
That's assuming, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there.
Overall, three of them, but Yakimchuk. Oh, Reinbacher, Yakimchuk, and Mayu, all 6'3 plus.
Come on.
All good defenders, all offensive capability. It'd be just sick. So I wouldn't mind it if they took Yakimchuk at all.
No, that's it. Best player available. I think nobody can argue against that. Even though the Habs are loaded at D, you take the best guy available. And if that's Yakimchuk, I think Habs fans should rejoice. Another one here from Steven before we head off. A few more questions after that. He's asking, he's eyeing Cole Beaudoin and Juste Poirier with that Jets first rounder this year. What does Grant think of those two players?
Ooh. Justin Poirier is not going in the first round.
Hmm.
I don't know that he goes in the top three rounds, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't think he goes in the top two rounds. Probably a third or fourth rounder. He's 5'9 and a bit, not a great skater. And yeah, he's scoring lots of goals in the queue. He's gritty for his size. He's a sniper at the junior level. But as far as that translating to the NHL, to him being a top six forward, I just don't see it being some. At this point, I don't know any NHL scouts that have him that highly ranked. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think the Canadians will be taking a 5'9 forward that doesn't skate that well with a first-round pick. They already have enough smaller forwards in the organization. And for those reasons, I don't think that he'll be a consideration in the first round. But hey, if he's there in the third, well, take a flyer on him. I mean, he just kept scoring this year, scoring at the AHL or at the QMJHL level. So there'll probably be a team that come the third round, if he's still there, we'll grab him. And maybe it's the Canadians. I know Cole Beaudoin. Yeah, I can see the Canadians targeting him with their Jets pick. That's a very good choice by the person asking the question. He big, smart.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Tremendous work ethic and very physical. He's one of the more highly competitive players in this draft class. I've heard him compared to Boone Jenner. Now, it's not a perfect comparison, but that type of player would be just a perfect addition to your third line down the road. And just like Poirier, he's got to work on his skating too, but he's 6'2", 210 pounds. So, you know, you make up for it in determination in other ways as far as translating your game to the NHL level. Not saying that Poirier can't do that, but the majority of scouts at this point, I don't think, are that high on Poirier. It's certainly not as high as they are on Baudouin. Mm-hmm. And his skating has improved as the year goes along. We'll likely see him at the U18s, and that'll be a big, you know, I think that'll make or break whether he's a first-round pick or not. And if he shows that he can handle the pace at the U18s at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the players that the Canadians look seriously at with the Winnipeg pick.
That's interesting. And that's assuming the pick doesn't get traded, right? We saw last year they traded a first and a second for Alex Newhook. And I know that Jeff Gorton has mentioned on the SIG podcast, the eye test with Pierre McGuire and Jimmy Murphy, that they are open on adding talent. And if there's a trade that appears before them that could, you know, facilitate that, then, you know, they'd be open to it. So again, that's another possibility, right? Trading that pick. Now, I think we can take another question here before we head off. I'll let Sammy pick a question from Twitter. We had a few questions from Twitter earlier. So Rick here is asking, after a few drafts of the new Habs regime, what do you think are the main qualities the scouting team look for in a player? Very good question.
Yeah. Well, I think hockey sense is at the, you look at a lot of the guys picked, Owen Beck, Lane Hutson, Slaff, Mayshar, Engstrom. Well, that was the one before. I think what you can do though, and I think you have to go back a couple of years before these guys were here, because Marty Lapointe is the, you know, he was with Timmins and Bergevin, and he's still one of the main decision makers when it comes to the draft. And I think what we saw the tail end of Bergevin's regime and as continued is that the Canadians are picking smart, competitive players. I think Marty has a lot to do with that. Kapanen, I mean, you go down the list of guys taken in the last 4 years, and hockey sense is a very key component to most of them. You know, that goes for Reinbacher, you know, and competitiveness for all these guys. Fowler is another example. Jack Eye, very competitive. And when I spoke with Marty in the off season and asked him about, you know, what do you look for most in a player? And he said competitiveness. So I think competitiveness. And if you're competitive and, you know, very smart, a smart hockey IQ, Marty's going to love you. I think Bobrov, obviously. I mean, how can you not like those qualities in a player, yeah. right? So I think that those are the two main components that they're looking for in building a team and an identity and a culture. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you want skill too. So you get those three components along with decent size, because I think we've seen the new guys. They went out and got Doc. They picked Sla first overall. They dipped the 6'3 defenseman over the 5'10 winger, fifth overall last year. It's telling you that they think that the team needs to be bigger to compete for a Stanley Cup. And those are the three things that I think that the new regime is placing a high priority on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree. Hockey sense, right? It's all in the peanut. You know what I mean? They're drafting good character, smart players. And to me, that's in the making for a successful recipe right there. Very, very happy. As a Habs fan myself, right, I'm thrilled with what they've accomplished through the draft in only two drafts so far, right? So, I'm very, very excited to see what they do in this year's draft. Having two first-round picks, the depth, right, the depth of prospects in this year is very, very exciting. So they have a lot of options. It's going to be hard to screw up, right? Whoever they pick in that top five, top six pick, I think it, you know, there's so many options that you just have to be happy with whoever they pick and trust that was the best player available. We've gone on for quite some time, and honestly, I had a ton of fun, Grant. I love going live. Yeah. And if you enjoyed us going live and want us to do it again, let us know in the comments. We might do it again. Who knows? Don't forget to subscribe. Give us a like, right? This channel is only possible because of you. We appreciate all of your support. And obviously, if you want the full report on what Grant thought about David Reinbacher, head over to recruits.ca. Grant wrote a fantastic article about that. So do yourself a favor. Go check that out. Grant, any parting remarks from you?
I thought my phone was turned off. Apparently not. A little ding-dilly-ding. Something from Maniello. So, yeah, you can hold off for 20 seconds. I'll have to tune them in when we get off the air.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.